Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening and happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day to you here this evening. Driving up to the studio tonight was really kind of interesting. Fireworks everywhere. We usually don't have the 4th of July on Sunday evening. And generally speaking, when we do have it on Sundays, usually the fireworks have been over by the time we're driving up the highway. But I tell you, there was fireworks everywhere you turned. Off in the distance, you would see them. And then, of course, as we were headed up the highway, heading north, up toward Cleveland, due north of us, and also in other directions along to the areas to the east of Cleveland, we had pretty good view. And it just if you stuck your hand out in front of you, about everywhere where one of your fingers would be, there were fireworks coming up, it seemed like, and just lots of them. When we pulled into the parking lot, we could see some to the west of where the station is, and just a pretty incredible experience. It was really interesting tonight watching all the fireworks and managed not to drive off the road while doing it. So again, happy Independence Day, and glad you're listening to us tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we are here on AM 1220 The Word, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to join in with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can join us, give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. And I'm going to talk about a couple things, mention a couple things as well before we get into our callers, but also remind you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to find a variety of materials there, some comments and things about some different things, links to some articles and things and some booklets that I put together over the years. And you can also listen to past programs and even some selections where we've saved some bits out of some programs. And you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. So let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with the word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for the freedom that we can enjoy in this country. And again, we thank you for making it possible for us to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a witness and a testimony to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just thank you for your blessing. Thank you that we can celebrate Independence Day here in the United States together. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight. And wanted to mention, too, that we'll have more information about our church, but certainly invite you to visit us. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we are right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. The exit's right there where you can see the toll booths for the turnpike right out of the outside of the hotel where we meet. And so we invite you to come. We're easy to get to, easy to find, and we'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime. And certainly our regular services on Sunday, and then our Friday night Bible study every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, an informal Bible study where you bring the questions and we just discuss them in an informal setting. And then, of course, on Friday afternoon, just a reminder, on Friday afternoon, we also have our Friday afternoon program every Friday, 1:30 until 2 o'clock, right here on AM 1220, The Word. So again, you can find out a lot of that information. Just remember, go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you'll find a lot of that information there. You can find us on a variety of social media. I've got to update some of my posts there. I've added two social media platforms since then that we've had. We've got Facebook, we've got USA Today, we've got Twitter, but I haven't been using, and quite honestly, I'm kind of just aggravated with Twitter and the way they treat people. Same with Facebook, really, too, but Facebook is such a giant platform. We're maintaining a presence there, but we are also on Parler and Gab.com, MeWe, and more recently on Minds, MINDS.com. And let's see, there's another one that I'm thinking of, and I just can't think of it right now. And I got to get those all listed, updated on our website at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here this afternoon. Like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, I did want to mention, if you heard our Friday program, I was talking about the article in Christianity Today that was decrying the fact that some churches saying, I don't know, we might have young children listening, but some churches sang patriotic songs in church today. Can you believe that? Some churches dared to sing patriotic songs on Independence Day in a church service? Well, let me tell you, our church did. We sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic. We sang America the Beautiful. We sang the Star-Spangled Banner. If you've not sung more than the first verse, you would know there's references to God in it and imploring God and thanking God. And so we sang several patriotic songs that reference God and thank God for the blessings that we have in this country, and also implore God to continue refine us and make us and keep us a great nation. And I think it's a good time to remember the article in Christianity Today. I won't to talk about to the extent that I did last Friday, but the article in Christianity Today was all about the when you sing patriotic songs, you might offend somebody, basically, is what it boiled down to. And not just offending people who are alive today, they actually said you might offend somebody's ancestors. I didn't know our ancestors were listening to the song services in our churches. But, you know, it's interesting, this article in Christianity Today, 3 years ago, the very same magazine 3 years ago published an article in June of 2018, the end of June, and the title of this article, Make Worship Patriotic Again, the Top 10 Songs for 4th of July Services. I guess maybe they had an editor change, I don't know. Maybe they went to somebody who's somewhat of a curmudgeon, maybe that's the case, who knows. But at any rate, and then of course, when we think about this, we remember, of course, that on July 1st was Canada Day, and our good friend Terry in Canada, whom we'll get to here this evening, has reminded us that as well, Canada Day, and so we might touch on that again a little bit tonight. But welcome to the program, and I think we're going to jump to our first caller. I believe Nancy called in first, and so Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Happy Independence Day.
Well, thank you. Yes, it was a very blessed Independence Day.
Your church didn't sing patriotic songs, did they?
Oh, of course.
I'm going to have to call Pastor Risnacko and rebuke him soundly for daring to sing patriotic songs about God and country on Independence Day, of all things, in church.
Yes, I love patriotic songs. What you were talking about on the way out here, you kept seeing fireworks all over the place. And that is what I experienced right in my own, just standing in my own yard. They were all around me, like for at least an hour. I could not believe it. I've never seen this huge display of fireworks. But my question was, is it unbiblical to have fireworks? Do you know, is there anything in the Bible that says that it's biblical or not biblical, or it's just neutral?
Well, I don't believe that they had fireworks at the time the Bible was written. I know the Chinese were one of the first ones to develop fireworks, but gunpowder hadn't been invented yet. And so, we look at gunpowder, which, you know, when you think about it, the basics of gunpowder is what makes fireworks work. And so that had not been... to our knowledge, let me put it that way. I say to our knowledge because it's really rather interesting. I remember reading one time, and I've seen it a couple other times. In the year one, meaning at the time of the beginning of the first century, and at the time of Christ, at the time of the apostles, and in the first century, in the second century, in that time frame, people were more technologically advanced than in the year 1000. Now, that sounds counterintuitive, but we were talking about it at church. You know, they used to have the library at Alexandria, remember? It was the greatest library in the ancient world. And when ships would come into the port at Alexandria, there was a standing rule that they had to provide a copy or allow scribes to copy any books or any writings that they had. And they were all stored in the Library of Alexandria. And so they literally had books and materials from all around the known world, the greatest library in the ancient world. And then when Islam took over in Egypt and conquered Alexandria, they destroyed the books and the parchments and things. They destroyed the library, and with it, they destroyed a lot of knowledge.
Now, what year was this that they destroyed?
I'm going to say it was around the 7th or 8th century when they did that. So it would be before the year 1000. Plus, the Roman Catholic Church, which people look at as this bastion of teaching and preserving knowledge and things like that, you know, basically, unless you were committed to the church, you didn't get any education, and they had a monopoly on education, and they kind of, you know, we called it the Dark Ages, and a lot of knowledge was lost during that time, and it wasn't until later, who was the great explorer, he's on the tip of my tongue, who opened up the spice trails, and Marco Polo. Marco Polo and some others like him began bringing things back into Europe, and it sparked an increase in learning. And it was around about, I think, it led to many discoveries taking place, or rediscoveries perhaps taking place. We were speculating that had it not been for the Roman Catholic Church kind of reducing the education of people, and also for what the Muslims did when they took over countries, you know, the Industrial Revolution perhaps might have happened hundreds of years before it did. And so we might have conceivably been far more technologically advanced than we are today. Interesting area of history to look at. So, but as far as fireworks go, nothing in the Bible that I know of that would prevent. I mean, they had arrows that they would set on fire, and they would send catapults, you know, with things that were burning, and sometimes when those hit things, you know, the fire would sparks would fly around and everything. That wasn't exactly fireworks. I suppose somebody could have shot a flaming arrow or two into the sky when celebrating things. I remember when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. On the 4th of July, American Samoa was a U.S. territory. And so on the 4th of July, and then on American Samoa's Flag Day, which was a celebration of the time in which they became a U.S. territory, and also on New Year's Day, they would shoot flare guns up. You'd be driving, and you would see people shooting flare guns. So you'd see these flares that they, you know, because it's an island. And so they shoot flare guns up in the air. And they had other things that they did. But, you know, in terms of celebrating, and as long as the things that they were using and the things that we use today are not hurting people, I can't see any reason why you would make a biblical case against the use of fireworks. You know, it's a...
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. And then I wanted to mention at your usual excellent Friday night Bible study, when I was mentioning that I knew two people that I was pretty sure, you know, were saved, but neither one of them, they barely witnessed at all. And you were just explaining, you know, the different personalities. And, you know, I thought that is an earmark of a true Christian, if they will witness to other people. They have this overwhelming desire to do it, you know, reading the Bible and going to church and being with fellow Christians. But I thought that also, like this innate drive to witness to people would be a surefire proof that somebody was saved. But like you explained, you know, there's introverts and extroverts, and then introverts can be shy or not shy, and so you really broke it down. I really appreciate that, because it's something that's been bothering me.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's actually extroverts that are shy. You know, for an introvert to be shy, it's not a big problem, because, you know, if you're not really wanting to be around people that much, it doesn't matter if you're shy or not so much. But when you're an extrovert and you're shy, you know, or even worse, if you're an extrovert and you're just plain afraid of people, that's really kind of hard, because you're wanting, it's like the moth drawn to the flame, you know, you're wanting to be around people, but you're shy or you're afraid of them, and so that it causes lots of problems.
I didn't think that's possible.
It is possible. It's actually possible. And that's why we were talking about, you know, the idea shy and bold is not the definition of an introvert and an extrovert, but a lot of people think shyness and introversion are synonymous, and boldness and extroversion are synonymous. But they often go together, but the real mark of an introvert is somebody that gets tired being around people, and they need to be alone in order to get charged back up. And the extrovert is the person who gets tired when they're alone, and they need to be around people to get charged back up. You know, and it's different. And of course, if the drive to witness was something that was really strong in everybody that saved, we wouldn't have any problems getting people to share their faith. And I think we'd see a lot more people saved. But the problem is, even some really good Christians have to be prodded to try to share their faith. You know, I even find myself, that's not the easiest thing for me to do. You know, when somebody asks me questions, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine when somebody asks me questions. And shameless plug here, our church is having our booth at the Summit County Fair at the end of the month. The Summit County Fair is the last week of this month, and actually runs Tuesday through Sunday, so it'll end on the 1st of August. But when I have the booth there and people come up and ask us questions, and we have things designed to get people to ask questions, I have a great time, just like on the radio program or in our Friday night Bible study. But if you wanted me to just walk up to somebody I don't know and say, hey, go talk to that person and share the gospel with them, man, that's hard for me. That's difficult, because I'm not an extrovert.
I would never think that true of you. That surprises me that you tell me that. Now, I had a lot of fun today. We had a family reunion, you know, at my cottage. Kingsville's about an hour away. And I was doing a lot of witnessing. A lot of people there I hadn't seen for years, and some people I never had met before. But like, for example, when my son did the meal blessing, here's these 20 people sitting around listening to me. And I said, and I pray that if there's anybody here that has not truly trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I would hope sooner rather than later, there's only one way to heaven. And I got some really interesting looks.
I bet you did.
but anyhow, I mean, I said, what better way to share my faith and try to tell them the importance of getting saved than when everybody's listening and they're all around in a group. And they were a really nice group of people. Now, I have to say that a couple of my nephews, they just sort of made a joke when I was witnessing to them, you know, like planting seeds other times. Mm-hmm. They were just sort of making a joke out of it. But, I mean, they weren't, like, mocking me or anything. But
yeah.
I still enjoy doing that quite a bit, you know, like sharing my faith with people. But anyhow, thank you very much for explaining that, you know, about the fireworks. There's nothing unbiblical about them. But I'll tell you, this is sort of funny. My daughter, she's, you know, visiting me from out of town. Okay, well, anyhow. So anyhow, it's just nice having her visit with me. So anyhow, when somebody was shooting off fireworks from across the street, I was really, really nervous. And yeah, so anyhow, it was taken care of. You know, we said, please don't shoot fireworks into my driveway. So,
well, and yeah, you would want to respect somebody's property because, you know, that. I can remember when we were younger, because I grew up on a small farm, and my dad would get aggravated because my older brother in particular always seemed to find fireworks and different types that would go and do all kinds of things, and he would always be warning us, don't let that get near the hay field, because it's the time you're making hay, and we'd have hay drying
right,
in the field,
right.
And so it's dry grass in the field. He was always concerned that one of them would go and land in the hay field and catch it on fire.
Oh, and, yeah.
So, hey, I was actually looking at a passage here when we were talking about different things about boldness and, you know, in sharing the gospel with people.
Right.
And, you know, and different people should have a burden, should have a boldness that comes by knowing Christ. And really, when you look at somebody who's maybe by nature a quieter person, I can remember sitting in church listening to the pastor say, you know, everybody's awful quiet out there. You know, at the football game, you're not nearly that quiet. And I could think to myself, no, I'm actually, and I'm not one of these people who jump up, amen, praise the Lord, praise you, brother, you know, that type of stuff. If I said a amen, you know, that was loud for me, and I could honestly say, no, if I was at a football game, I wouldn't be saying anything at all. I say much more, a quiet amen for me in church was much more than I would ever do if I was at a sporting event. But of course, I didn't really go to sporting events. But I mean, it's just when we think about somebody, we compare people with other people. You know, some people are going to take off and they're going to be more on fire and they're going to be bolder and all of this much faster, much more bold. And other people are going to be slower and. The little amen that they say might be the equivalent of the other person jumping up and running around the auditorium. But here's a passage. Here's a passage in Ephesians chapter 6. And I think we could agree that the Apostle Paul was not somebody who was hesitant to share the gospel with people. In Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about the armor that God has for us, when he's talking about this, let me pick it up in verse 17, Ephesians 6, verse 17, and because this is where the sentence starts. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then notice what he says in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Isn't that interesting? For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul is actually requesting that the Ephesians pray for him, that he would have boldness to open his mouth and proclaim the gospel. So we look at Paul and we think, man, this guy is bold. He's fearless. Mm-hmm. He's willing to be beaten and thrown in jail for his witness. And yet he's saying, you know, I'm not always as bold as I ought to be. Pray for me.
Wow. And
I think looking at this,
fascinating.
When we see people in church that are reluctant to share the gospel openly, reluctant to talk much openly about the Lord, I think we ought to pray for them like Paul asked for prayer for himself. We should pray for them that they ought to, that they would speak boldly as they ought to speak.
Absolutely. Yes.
I was going to say, I think that everybody in church should pray for their pastor, that he would he would speak boldly as he ought to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you speak very boldly, and so does Pastor Andy, and Pastor Sanders, very bold.
But I think each of those men would also agree that they want people to pray for them like the Apostle Paul, that they would speak boldly as they ought to speak, even better.
Man, you can always, always speak even more boldly than you can.
Because
without hitting somebody over the head with a Bible.
Yeah, and it's also it's not just boldness. It's some wisdom. Wisdom.
Discernment.
Yeah, discernment. Right, and what to say and what not to say, and how to approach people differently. That's one of the things we were talking about Friday night, if you remember. When you think about it. I said the person who's an extrovert and they plop themselves down next to an introvert, and it's like the introvert's looking at this person like they're swooping down out of the sky, pouncing on them, wondering what they're doing, and walls start going up, and the extrovert's using techniques that extroverts like to use that work for extroverts, but they put up walls with introverts. They get frustrated. And they go, well, the Spirit's not working in this one, and they move on. And the introvert gets all defensive and upset because they don't understand why this guy is swooping out of nowhere, suddenly hitting them with personal questions and topics.
That is so true. I remember that very well. That is so true. Well, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Al. I just appreciate your wisdom dramatically. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and thank you, and pray for me. I can open my mouth boldly as I ought to do.
We all pray for you.
Yeah,
for
I appreciate
you.
That.
I bet Terry's on hold.
He is on hold, and we're going to get to him as well. But thank you. And again, you got a little over a half an hour to celebrate Independence Day, but a lot of people have tomorrow off, so that they can celebrate tomorrow as well. We've had fireworks in our neighborhood going off for the last couple of nights, so I expect them more tomorrow night too, so and probably after that. But thanks again, Nancy. Appreciate the call. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al and AM 1220 The Word. And we've got, what do we got, about a minute before the break? So I think we'll hold Terry until after the break. Let me mention something else here. Our church newsletter I've published online. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find it there. And there's either in the church newsletter, it's a PDF, or you can click on the standalone of the main article that's in the newsletter. I try to do a main article for each issue, and I've been trying to get back into doing this. Used to do this years ago. Started last summer doing it again. And the main article's titled, Are We Alone? And this is talking about UFOs and the possibility of life elsewhere in the universe. And we're going to be having Ian Juby on the radio again with us in the near future to talk about this again. So stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go, so don't go away.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6555. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope we'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible and current events, in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Reminder, you're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And you can find out more if you go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back into our program and back with our callers. Remember, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And we've got Terry waiting for us. And Terry, welcome to the program. And again, happy Canada Day, a belated Canada Day for you.
Yeah, happy Independence Day to you guys.
And thank you. Okay. Hands across the water, as it were, right?
Yeah. Happy 4th of July.
yes. I was actually this past week, was reading a little bit about Canada Day because, you know, you've mentioned it in the past, and it was kind of interesting, you know, because I was looking how, you know, you had Upper and Lower Canada, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick come together, and then, of course, you know, the various divisions in the province and stuff to form present-day Canada. Really kind of interesting.
I think that we've only been around for 153 years, and I think you guys have been around a lot longer.
Well, 1776 for us, but it was July 1st, 1867, the British Parliament brought the British North America Act into effect, leading to the creation of independent Canada. See, that's almost like I just read that from the History of Canada Day, isn't it? But that is kind of interesting. I didn't realize how it came together, you know, with that union of the various British North American colonies that were still there in present-day Canada. So
I read about that. There's a lot to learn.
Yeah, so very interesting. But you know what? But what's amazing in both cases, Canada and the United States, is, you know, the promotion of Christianity in the early days of both of our countries, and you know, just like many people came to what became the United States, a desire to be able to have the freedom to worship God in the manner of their own choosing. You had some similar things going on in Canada. And things of that nature, but and it's also interesting how God has blessed. You know, when you look at North America, north of the Mexican, you know, the Mexican United States border, you see one of the most prosperous, one of the freest, one of the most advanced places in the world to live, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah. We're really blessed in our country.
Yeah, and that's why I say north of the United States-Mexico border, because including Canada and the United States, two of the freest countries in the world, really, you think about it. And it's safe and prosperous.
Thankful we're not living in a country like North Korea.
Yeah, one of the least free, I think it's Dennis Prager, the Jewish commentator, who says that North Korea is like a giant concentration camp.
Oh, which I pray for that country. I pray for your country. I pray for your American president Biden,
mm-hmm.
And I pray for Trudeau. Trudeau and Biden are both Catholics, by the way. I guess you knew that.
Yeah, and they're both in violation of their own church's teachings, aren't they?
Yeah, and the one thing that Biden is in violation of is that he can't take communion because he allows women to abort their children.
You know, and you brought up a great point there, Terry, because there are people who say that when the Catholic Church is considering not allowing Biden to take communion because of his unequivocal, unrelenting pushing of abortion and support of abortion on demand, you know, which is completely contrary to Catholic teaching. They're saying that when they're talking about not allowing him to take the mass because he's in violation of church teaching, people are trying to say, oh, they're politicizing things. No, if they really believe these things, then hold them to it. You know, our church is pro-life, and if a member of our church became president or governor or whatever and suddenly became a staunch supporter of abortion and exporting abortion not only throughout our country but throughout the world, because that's what Biden administration is doing. They're supporting abortion on demand throughout the world. You know, when it come time to do the Lord's Supper, I'd say no. You are walking contrary to the things of God. You know, you should not be partaking of the Lord's Supper. You're going to eat and drink damnation to yourself, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians.
Well, I wouldn't take the Protestants are symbolic Christians.
Yes, yeah.
The Catholics are transubstantiations.
Right. They, yeah. And And again, it's a false teaching that that the Catholic Church evolved over a period of time away from the symbolic example of the Lord's Supper in the Bible. But again, like I said, if they really believe it, then why do they allow him to participate? Because, you know, in our church, and we have, I believe, the truth, I would not allow, if I had somebody like Biden in my church, I would say, no, you cannot partake of the Lord's Supper. And in our case, it's not necessary for salvation. Of course, the Bible says it's purely symbolic. It is due in remembrance of me, Paul said.
I think that the communion is more for the believer.
Yes, and it is. It is. But, yeah, I was just trying to make an analogy there. If we had somebody that went from our church and changed their position on abortion and all in order to, you know, get public office. And that's not unheard of because I saw Dennis Kucinich, I think, has put his hat in the ring to run for mayor of Cleveland, and he was mayor of Cleveland, one of the youngest mayors of a major American city, when he was mayor once before back in the, oh man, that was what, the late 70s, early 80s, somewhere around there. But if I'm not mistaken, when he was mayor before, he was pro-life. And then when he decided to go into national politics and to become a representative to the U.S. Congress and then started his frequent runs for the presidency, he became pro-abortion. Because unfortunately in the Democrat Party, to seek national office, you pretty much have to be pro-abortion today. Sad.
Yeah, and you know, the sad thing about it, too, though, is that I came up with a word tonight. It's called chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
Chameleon. I was thinking about a chameleon. I'm a chameleon sometimes. I change my, the way I dress, the way I, you know, wear. Sometimes I have a beard, sometimes I don't have a beard, stuff like that. And I got thinking about that, and I was thinking that Satan is a chameleon. And
yes.
Politicians are chameleons.
They,
a lot of politicians are chameleons.
Yeah, they try to blend with and reflect back what they think the people they're talking to want to hear or see.
Yeah, and they change their minds. They say one thing, and they do the opposite.
Yeah.
It makes them chameleons.
Well, and see, that's why we need to pray for our leaders, whatever country we're in. You know, that's why Paul had reminded Timothy, you know, to pray for elected leaders in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he said, I exhort therefore, starting verse 1, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is our responsibility as Christians, to pray for those in authority. Hey, Terry, I noticed I got a number of calls coming in here, so we may have to jump to our callers here.
Okay.
But
I'd like to encourage people to pray for the lost.
Yes.
Pray for the lost.
And as I was saying with Nancy, pray one for another that we'd have the boldness to be the witness that we ought to be. So, but appreciate that there, Terry. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom calling from Florida tonight. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening.
Happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day to you, too.
The Amen Corner down here is kind of starting to quiet down from the fireworks, but we had our share this evening. I want to just give you something as a sort of a follow-up to Nancy, not really in the same vein, but the question about the fireworks, that's why it came about. And if I could just read a couple of sentences. This is from one of the famous letters of John Adams to his wife, Abigail. He was speaking about the second day of July 1776, when they actually agreed to be an independent country. Mm-hmm. And he wrote to her saying that this day should be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. So he may have been the one that actually got the idea of illuminations going, and mm-hmm. which has become our tradition. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and I had thought about that. Thank you for calling in with that quote. I had thought about it, but I knew I couldn't find it. While I was on the air, should have probably thought about it and looked it up before the program. But that's a good program. Of course, illuminations would have been fireworks, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Yeah, and so that was a part of
shooting off guns as well.
Yes. Well, and also if you remember the early guns, more like what they had back then, the muskets and all. When you mm-hmm. shot them, there was quite a few sparks and things that flew out, and. Yeah. Those old blunderbusses, you know, some of them, the stuff that come out the end, a lot of sparks and things. So that's kind of an illumination almost right there too. But but I do appreciate you finding that and sharing that with us tonight. I appreciate that.
Well, my pleasure, sir. And you probably have other callers, so I'm just going to say have a blessed night to you and all the listeners up in Cleveland, and God bless. Look forward to hearing you again next week.
All right. Well, God bless. Thank you, Tom, and happy 4th of July Independence Day to you as well. Thank you so much. And we've got Tom. We're moving from Tom in Florida to Tom in Ohio in Akron. So, Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, hi. I haven't talked to you for a while, Pastor.
Hi. Happy Independence Day.
Happy 4th of July, Independence Day. Amen. Yeah, so I'm all for fireworks and celebrating. Darn right. But I'll tell you, it's ironic because the Chinese are the ones that really introduced black powder, if I remember right, my history.
Yeah, and developed some of the early fireworks. And, they, of course, you know, they were for the emperor's in entertainment, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and speaking of China, did you catch the news this week about President Xi announcing that they're soon to plan to end all cash currency and go totally digital control with their monetary system?
Well, this is what we see happening, and there are some people who believe that part of the globalist agenda is to pattern it on the Chinese plan. We've got the Great Reset, where they want to digitize our money. Because think about it, if everything is digital, when you were growing up, did you ever have a piggy bank?
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of kids do. There's probably a lot of adults that still have piggy banks of some sort. You know, I got some jars that I drop coins into.
Yeah, my mother wouldn't let me break it, though. I had to shake it out from the bottom.
There you go. But think about this.
Yeah.
If somebody gave you a coin to put in your piggy bank, there's no record of that.
No, that's right.
And you just put them in there. But when everything goes digital, what are they going to do? Have a digital piggy bank where somebody will give you an electronic code and you can you enter it into your electronic piggy bank? But see, every penny...
Well, they're going to work it off of apps and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, but every penny is going to be accounted for. If I'm walking down the street and I see a coin on the ground and I pick it up and put it in my pocket, nobody knows that I have that coin except for me.
Right.
But in a digital currency, everything digital, that's not going to happen. Well, every single penny that you have and how you spend it is going to be recorded.
Yeah, I just see that I think the foundation's being laid for, you know, the prophecy in Revelation.
Exactly. In Revelation, the Antichrist.
But you know, if you think about the digital, they're pretty much saying that anybody who does not want to conform to Chinese to the government's wishes, because they're trying to end religion, they're trying to end not only the Muslims, but they're trying to end Christianity and everything else. They do not want the people to have religion; they want the government over there to be the religion.
Well, and think about this: the churches where God says that we should give. Right?
Right.
Right. We give and people tithe and they give offerings in addition to their tithes, and that goes to the local church. And if everything is digital, like China plans to do, what better way to hinder the churches than to cut off their money supply completely?
Yeah, absolutely.
But see, here's another thing, too. You've got the black market out there, and some people would say, well, that's a good way to rein them in as well, because otherwise you can't keep tabs on it. What's going to have to happen is a black market of sorts where people look to other things of value, some kind of barter, some kind of trade system that operates outside of the official economic system. And you'll see that develop in places. And I really do think all this is setting the stage for, you know, Revelation during the tribulation period when the mark of the beast is instituted. And it says in Revelation 13, and it says in, verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And think about it, in an all-digital economy, the government has the possibility of saying, Tom in Akron, you know, we don't like what you're doing, and if you don't stop, we're going to make it so you can't buy or sell anything.
That's exactly right.
And they cut off your money, and they know where every penny that you have is. It's in your digital piggy bank. It's in your digital bank account. It's in your digital wherever. And they're going to say, well, Tom, if you persist in that, we're going to take away all of the money that you have. It's all digital.
That's right.
Right now, you know, you can hide something, you know, you can bury a box of money or a jar full of money in your backyard if you wanted to.
Yeah, they're not talking Bitcoin or these other, private currencies that are starting to, you know, explode. But they're talking total government money, but it's all digital. That's
yes.
Exactly right.
And expect them then to ban physical money.
Absolutely.
And you'll see this push. There's people who are advocating this right now in our own country and in Europe and elsewhere. And this is all part of the plan. The mystery of iniquity from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 is already at work.
Yeah,
and this is a part of it.
That's why I think Donald Trump was a reprieve, and most people
yes,
don't understand that.
Exactly. God's people were praying, and God intervened in a miraculous way and prevented, at least for 4 years, what we're seeing happen today.
Amen. Well,
you know,
I think the pulpit's kind of got a lot of Christians got a little relaxed with Trump in there, too.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians have just silenced their voices voluntarily.
Well, just like Nancy was talking about earlier.
Yeah,
a lot of people just don't even want to. Get what you're saying about witnessing. It can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a lot more shy about it, but in my older years, I figure God has made me a little more bolder about that. So,
and that happens a lot of times.
You know, but sometimes I won't get into an argument if somebody really, you know, if I witness to somebody and they really don't want to hear it and they're getting frustrated or upset about it, I just leave it alone then. But
And arguing doesn't really get you anywhere.
No, because the Holy Spirit has to prepare the heart.
Mm-hmm.
He has to do the salvation. We don't save anybody.
Yeah.
We just merely share the Word of God, and the Word of God is what saves them.
Yeah, we have to be the conduit.
That's exactly right. But
especially as we see things getting more and more in line, setting the stage for, you know, the Antichrist world government and world economy and world religion.
Well, see what I think is going to happen is I think what's going to precede everything to finalize this one world government is it's going to have to be a lot more chaotic than COVID. It's going to have to be a total economic collapse because that will put people in total chaos.
Well, and when we look at COVID, there's a number of things. There's this on and off again story about a high-level Chinese defector who Supposedly, he's here in the United States, but China says, oh, no, he's not. He's here. But they can't ever seem to produce him.
I know.
If he's really in China, you know, all they have to do is have this guy go to the American embassy or consulate or whatever and say, you know, knock on the door and say, hey, here I am. You can tell this is not a fake picture with a fake newspaper or something. Here I am right here. Somebody's lying. I never went to the United States. But supposedly he defected, and the Defense Intelligence Agency is where he went because of too many Chinese moles and such in the CIA, FBI, and other intelligence apparatus in our country. And one of the things he says, same thing that Donald Trump was saying last year, and we were saying it right here in this program, and not us alone, many people were, that this virus, this COVID virus, came out of the Chinese lab in Wuhan that the People's Liberation Army was operating as a bioweapons research facility, and it escaped the lab accidentally.
Yeah, and then they chastised him for saying that.
Yeah, and then, of course, well, once it got out of the lab, they would not tell people that it was out. And so they had, you know, were researching this. And supposedly this Chinese defector has given evidence that that indeed is what happened.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, President Trump was ridiculed for suggesting that last year. But now even the people who ridiculed him are starting to say, you know what, I think that's what happened.
Well, yeah, Pompeo was saying that too.
Yes, yes.
You know,
but
you know, Pompeo is a pretty devout Christian.
Yes, and I hope we'll see more of him on the public scene if the Lord tarries. But Tom, I hear the music coming.
God bless, and we're still living in one of the greatest and freest countries in the world.
Amen.
We've got to be vigilant, we got to be watchful, and we got to pray.
It's not perfect, but it's got the potential, because if God is with us, as the Bible says, who can be against us? So Tom,
amen.
Hope you have a great rest of Independence Day, and if you're celebrating tomorrow, you know, the Biden administration said that the barbecue for Independence Day is 16 cents cheaper than it was last year. Of course, you'll spend three times that on gasoline going to get it. But thanks for listening, and God bless. Happy Independence Day to you.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.